Again, it's good to see everybody. Appreciate all the hospitality, all the prayers, even the cookies. You need that? Well, you better need it because I only have one scripture tonight. I desire your prayers. I find I get tired. I'm sure you're tired. I was serious. I only got one scripture tonight. So if I get done real quick, it's his job to finish. Because I can just say, okay, Pastor. But that's all we need is one scripture. God's word is effectual. I want us to look around at our nation just for a second. Is this a Christian nation? Well, let's look at it just for a minute. There's Christians in this nation. That's true. This nation was started by Christian principles. That's true. What is it, 53 of the signers were Christians? That's pretty good. But where's the scriptures for the United States? The Bible is really silent over the United States. It does talk about those that live carelessly in the Isles, but I think he's talking about England there. Where is the United States in the Bible? Do we have a future here? We have a future anywhere the Lord places us. So we don't have to worry about that. But where is the United States now in the last days? Well, look around. Here we are. We are responsible for this nation. Christians are. You know when Israel was taken into bondage? Is when everybody gave up. As long as there was one that would stand in the hedge and stay between the wrath of God, the nation continued on. So we don't want to be the last one to close the door when we leave the United States. We want to stand here. We want to take a stand. But a lot of folks think today that the United States is it's all done. I don't think so. It might be way past its prosperity. It might be way past what it once was. But that doesn't mean you and I cannot be lights that this nation has to reckon with. The Bible tells us to be a light, to glorify our Father with our works. But I'm going to show you why the United States is so dark today. It's not the current president. It's not the past president. You can't blame the condition of a country on its president. He doesn't help sometimes, but I want you to look to see the problem. It's not the lost people. That's not the problem. The problem lies with us. When's the last time you knocked on a door of your neighbor and told them about Jesus? There's the problem. Our spirituality is the problem. Now, if you will, and I only have one scripture, and I'm serious. Brother Randy's going to have to take over after this. If you look with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. I'm going to qualify this as we read through it. This is the doctoring that this nation needs. This is the prescription that this nation needs. This will make a nation beautiful in the sight of God. It's not the lost people you have to worry about right now. It's you and me. We're the hedge that stands between the Father and this nation. How many people did it take coming over here? There's a few churches that came over here from England and Wales and Ireland. Just a few people. But the country was started by a few Christian people. And our signers were rich people by the most part. And they gave up everything they had for the most part for our nation to be a Christian nation. To start with. As you've guessed, if you've been here through these meetings, I don't know anything about political correctness. nor do I choose to ever learn. I believe it ought to be, thus saith the Lord, God's right, everybody else is wrong. I know that doesn't fit everybody's doctrine in the world today, but it's God's. Let all men be liars. Let God be true. So when we think about what we ought to do as a Christian nation, we're a nation that has many, 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 don't forget this, many Christians. If you don't like the city government the way it is right now, get involved. These were Christians that started this nation. If you don't like the way your school board is conducting things, get on the school board. Run for election. You say, well, the Lord just doesn't call us for that. Better study your Bible. And look and see some of the things that God used. Would you say that Joseph got involved at all? How about Moses? You know what Jesus was called? Oh, he was a radical. He bucked against the common system of the land. He started saying, thus saith the Lord. John the Baptist. He went up to the king and said, you shouldn't have your brother's wife. Lost his head over that one. But he took a stand. The problem isn't the lost people in this nation. The problem is Christians, and I'm not going to pick on all the Christians, I'm just going to pick on Baptists, taking a stand. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if my people, it qualifies it right at the beginning here, if my people, he didn't say everybody else that there is, he said, if my people, I know he's talking about Israel in this particular case, but we too are the people of God. If my people, all those who are saved by God's grace, my people. Let me qualify something before I go any further. And I know you'll disagree with me, that's all right. The Bible says for a woman not to usurp authority over a man. Do you know what that means? Not to be the boss of a man. I did not vote for the past governor of this state. She wasn't qualified. She might have been smarter than the candidate, and so on. So that don't mean anything. She wasn't qualified. She would be usurping authority over the man. If you do it God's way, now I know a lot of folks don't agree with that, but if you do it God's way, it'll be the right way. So if my people do it the right way, let's look and see. By the way, that is scriptural, what I just mentioned to you. Brother Randy will give you the scripture in just a minute. If my people, which are called by my name, they were first called Christians at Antioch. God's people were identified with Christ by those watching them. That's why we're not called a Christian nation anymore. They say, well, it's Islamic. Well, it's a Jewish. No? Well, there are some Christians. We've lost our testimony before the world even. Yes. Used to be, Baptists would walk down the walkway and tell people about Jesus. V.A. Turner. Never met him, but I heard so much about him. Brother Jones is pastor. He was a tall, lanky guy to my understanding, and deep, gravelly voice. And you can imagine a guy wearing a trench coat and one of these wide-brimmed hats, kind of down like this. And you see him in the elevator, he'd look like a hitman for the mafia or something. And he'd say something to you like this. Are you prepared to die? Can you imagine? Talk about politically correct. But he had the boldness to do that. I was in the service station in Frankfort, Michigan one time. I don't know if Ethel ever heard about that or not. And this guy come in there and he was going to egg me on. He knew I was a preacher. And he come in there egging me on and he says, what do you think about that, preacher? I think you need to be saved. Then they started telling the gospel. Meanwhile, there's several people coming in. They're all standing around this guy. You're probably wondering, why in the world am I unloading on this guy? But you know what happened? I got to preach to several people I never seen in church. But there they were, caught up with a Baptist. How about you at work? How about you at school? How about you with your family reunion? Do we share the gospel like we once did? Do we bring in Christian principles? People call the homosexuals and whatnot a different lifestyle. What do you say about that to your family and friends? I'm finding more family members are saying, well, that's all right, they're just different. The Bible says that they're sodomites, worthy of death. You say, well, you get thrown in jail for that. That's a hate crime. Yes, that's true. That is in our nation today. You know why? Because Christians did not stand up and say no to that law. That's why it's in force today. Baptist preachers have went to jail already for hate crimes. Let's go look at our scripture. If my people shall be, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, O God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Mm-hmm. Not with our arrogance and pride and thinking we're as good as the next, but we humbly look and see we're not good enough with Christ. And we put and elevated ourselves above another because we think we're somebody, like on a big white horse. But the scripture says we ought to humble ourselves. Don't ask God to humble you. You humble yourself. In that humbleness, God be merciful to me, a sinner. In that humbleness, and pray. Petitions unto God are important. Here's what I hear. Lord, help me this day. That's a good beginning. Good ending. But help me overcome this sin, that sin, this sin. And help me to overcome this tongue that gets in my way. Help me to overcome these eyes that look the wrong way. Pray. Talk with God. Not recite a prayer. Jesus taught us through the model prayer, not the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer how to pray, but it's just the beginning. So we address Him as the Most Holy One, as we pray in Jesus' name. So He tells us, being His people, we humble ourselves, we pray, and here's the one that many Baptists have forgotten, and seek His face. Many prayers is about as far as this ceiling. Many people pray to be heard. People pray that, well, that's my responsibility and I got to do it. I'll muddle through the best I can and amen. You children, that's all of us. You children, talk with God. Talk with Him like your best friend that He should be. Talk with Him. See, Jesus went through this life and all our frailties He encountered. So when we have a bad day, share that with Him. When we have a great day, share that with Him. He'll be excited with you. But a lot of times we never seek His face. In other words, you're praying all the way to heaven. You're praying all the way to the throne. You're praying all the way to the face of Jesus. And when you do that, you'll be humble, realizing His righteousness. But then the defining moment. We get in touch with our Lord. The refining moment, we finally got His attention, almost, not quite yet. We seek His face and turn from their wicked ways. That's repentance. Did you notice the four-letter word? Then. If my people turn from their wicked ways. If my people turn from their wicked ways, then. That's the turning point. He hasn't even heard you yet. You're seeking His face, His audience with our Lord and Master, but we got to turn from our wicked ways, and then, this is the important part, then will I hear from heaven. But not until. So, an empty prayer is an empty prayer. If we're not turning, you know, we're trying to live in our sin. And I'm talking about Baptists now. If you're not a Baptist, fine. This is just free for you. You don't have to. But Baptists need to turn from their sin. Because that's Bible. Bible's Baptist. Brother Hafford Overby always said, what would you be if you weren't a Baptist? Ashamed. I mean, he was a Baptist through and through. I mean, that's just the way he felt. But you know, once you learn the truth, that's what you'll want to be. Some people won't agree with it, of course. But I'll guarantee you there's some of the things I've mentioned this week that you're not going to hear other places. Yep. Guarantee you that. Then, we got to get to that point, then things begin to happen. But not until we turn from our wicked way. And by the way, you don't hide anything from God. He already knows what we're up to. He already knows that we got problems. He knows that we have some terrible things in our life. But He wants us to turn from those things. The Bible says that He saved us from our sins, not in our sins. You once were these kind of sinners, but you repented. You turned from them. You're set apart for different reasons. If my people but turn from their wicked ways, then. All right, let's talk about idols just for a second here. When I think about an idol, you know what people have? I used to work for Service Master, and I'd go into various churches, and some of the churches actually had some idols. And some of them were just breathtakingly beautiful. It's amazing the creation that man can come up with. But they were idle. I say that literally. You look at that idol, and it's idle. It don't do anything. It just stands there. It don't do a thing. But our Lord and Master, He's never idle. He's always awake. He's always attended to what we're doing. And though you're in a dark room and you think nobody can see it, God can. You say something out in the middle of the woods, God just heard it. Doesn't matter where you're at. No matter what you're doing, God's there. But I want you to understand something. If my people turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Did you notice it's conditional of that? If you haven't repented of those pet sins in your life, has God heard you? Think about it. If we have sin that stays in our life and stays in our life and we just can't, it might be some kind of thing you're getting on the internet. Oh, you thought you got away with that? The things that you might be listening to. Some of these games that come onto the, and I don't know what all these things are called. You take over on that too. But all these games and stuff and some of the filth that are on them. It's disgusting. Can you imagine what it'd be like in God's sight? And God's children are playing with these things. They're not repenting. They're deep in sin. And never even consider it. And then they'll have the audacity to pray to God. Well, look at me, God. I'm doing this anyway. It doesn't matter. I'm going to do it anyway. Please help me with all these things that I need help with. You never prayed. You never entered into that place where God will hear. He cannot be approached with sin. And a lot of folks don't understand that today. Repentance used to be preached all the time. In this scripture, if I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. When? When they turn from their wicked ways. See, He doesn't just give a blanket policy. Well, you go out and sin all you want to, I'll forgive you. He will forgive you if you confess your sins. And He's faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins. But you got to confess those sins. We need an old time revival in this country. I can think of some dandies to preach that revival. I'd like to pull a few of them out of the grave and let them preach for us. Look now, I will forgive their sin. And notice this part, and I will heal their land. What does the United States need? They need a healing. But it's not the whole United States, it's the Baptists. I'm picking on Baptists now. You go pick on anybody you want to. I'm picking on Baptists. I can do that. I'm a Baptist. We are the reason the United States is in the place it's at. You say, oh no, wait a minute, it's all the wickedness that's in our land. It used to be we would rebuke wickedness. We would rebuke our children from watching those unseemly shows on TV. We used to rebuke our children from getting the tattoos and those other things that they have. What are we silent today? Well, they're just kids. They'll outgrow it. My Bible says, train your children up in the way you want them to go. And when they get old, they will not turn from it. Anybody ever been spanked? Oh, well, okay, that's good. Some of the young people volunteered on that, parents. Let me tell you how I got spanked when I was a kid. My daddy had a razor strap. Yeah, right. A razor strap is about that long. It's usually doubled. Oh, hear that thing crack? Ooh. And you took a straight razor and you sharpened a razor blade with it. That's what it's a razor strap. That hurt. It was always used on the posterior. But the hard part was he'd make me go get it. And it was hung on a nail, you know, and I had to go into this room and go get it. And then I had to bring the punishment to him. But today, well, let's give him a timeout. That might work in some things. But the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. What we need to do, United States, is start teaching these things once again. What's the next generation? If this generation is so bad, what's the next generation going to be like? So we have to, as Baptists, get right with God and get right beside Him and stand behind Him that He would heal our land. He's not going to heal this land for the lost folks. He's going to heal it for the saved folks. You say, well, what if we're a minority? That doesn't matter.
Right.
Israel was powerful when it's at its lowest numbers. If you look and see, that's true. Remember the one story where we'll start out with 32,000, ended up with 300? Just so that God would get the glory.
Amen.
Now, this is my scripture tonight. And every one of us can take part in healing this land. If you want to be a powerful influence in this community right here, every church member of this church needs to get in tune with this scripture. From the pastor down.
Amen.
Or from the lowest to the biggest, whatever. There's no such thing in a church. We're all the same. And we need to get right with the Lord. When's the last time you asked somebody to pray for you about this certain sin? When's the last time we asked the Lord to help us from that sin? So we see where we're at. And I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. If you want the United States to be healed, it's up to us. I know you haven't heard this probably, but it's true. And Brother Randy might have preached it. I've never, of course, I don't listen to them, so I guess I can't say that. I don't listen to TV preachers. If I did, you know what I'd be preaching on. No, I try not to anyway, but I probably would. Because I'd show them the Bible. Say, well, what's the Bible saying? That's my scripture for you right today. Now, my challenge to you is, what are you going to do with it? I gave you the Word of God. When Jesus came on, let's start with John the Baptist. When he came on the scene, he said, repent or perish. Jesus came on the scene. He said, repent and perish. When the disciples were sent out, they were sent out to preach repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. When we were sent out, we were sent out to preach repentance and faith towards Jesus Christ. Where's repentance today? Do we hear that? Remember fire and brimstone? Anybody ever hear fire or brimstone in a message lately? Oh, there's some good scriptures on fire and brimstone, and Baptists leave it alone. Well, people don't like that. Shame on you, preacher, if you don't preach on it. If it's in the Bible, it's Bible. It's still true.
Amen.
Now, I got my scripture over with. Now it's his turn. We're going to leave with him now. That's as far as I can take it, brother. We'll let you finish it.